Hey, Scott Spears back with you here on this Monday, November the 19th, 2018, 13 minutes past the hour. You're tuned into the Now program, and we're going to have Pat Carroll here momentarily, but every year at this time, we play a very special bit of audio tape. I believe this was done about 10 years ago now. It's with legendary comedian Phyllis Diller, and it's basically... It has to do with Thanksgiving, and it's the Phyllis Diller Butterball Turkey conversation. So here it is, the every year tradition. Enjoy.
Enjoy.
This is Scott Spears, and with Thanksgiving just around the corner, I have received many questions from listeners about how to make the perfect turkey. So with that in mind, I'm going to call the Butterball Turkey Hotline on air today to speak with a culinary expert to get your turkey troubles answered by a professional. Let's dial the old Butterball hotline here and see if we can get somebody on the line. I'm sure they get a lot of calls this time of year, but very sir, I'm sure. Good people over at Butterball. I'm not sure how long this hotline's been up and running, but I know it's been a while.
Butterball here.
Yes, this is Scott Spears from
Oh, yeah, Scott. I recognize your voice, Scott. I'm Butterball.
Now, wait. This voice sounds familiar.
Oh, my voice?
Your voice.
I'm the voice of Butterball.
You're the voice of Butterball.
Yeah, you better believe it.
Now, wait a second. This sounds like Phyllis Diller, not a Butterball employee.
Ha, ha, ha. You got it.
What are you doing working for Butterball, Phyllis?
Well, I always need to pick up a little extra change. And I wouldn't mind a little slice of something to eat that's that good.
Are you versed in turkey etiquette?
Well, they hired me, didn't they?
Okay. Well, I've got some questions for you, Phyllis.
You do. I bet you got a lot of questions. I've got the answers.
Okay, well, here we go. Let's get to the questions that the listeners have submitted. How do you thaw a frozen turkey on Thanksgiving Day? Does the size of the roasting pan make a difference? That's from Jessica from Cardington.
Now, that's about four different questions. Will you slow down, Scott?
I will. Let me try that again.
Try one question at a time.
I will try to take them... In order. That's a good one. How do you thaw a frozen turkey on Thanksgiving Day?
Okay, that is the dumbest question I've ever heard. And number one, a turkey doesn't thaw on the day that you're going to eat it, because that damn thing is hard as a rock. You got to leave it out overnight. And the poor thing is frozen in the first place. Be sure you cover it with a quilt so it doesn't cry. Because if it cries, it'll keep you awake all night. Okay.
Oh, my goodness. Oh.
They have feathers, but they're cold.
You know, Phyllis, so you're telling me if you haven't put your turkey out the night before...
No, you don't cook it the night before.
No.
You thaw it out all night. Sometimes it takes two nights to thaw out Fang. Coldest man I ever knew.
How's he doing?
Terrible.
Really? Does he like the holidays?
I make him sleep with a turkey.
Phyllis, second part of this question. Does the size of the roasting pan make a difference?
Oh, boy. It makes the turkey crazy to see that roasting pan. I'll tell you the difference it makes. I have a big roasting pan that the turkey fits in, but you can't shut the oven door.
So what do you...
It's too big to go in the oven.
What do you do?
Well, I go next door and borrow a pan.
So you kind of lean on your neighbors at the holidays.
What about the neighbors?
You lean on your neighbors at the holiday time.
clean there my whole life.
Hey, there you go. Let's get on to question. Are you busy this year, at this time of year, by the way, Phyllis, with Butterball?
I'm busy every time of year. People love my Butterball. I have explained to people year after year, day after day, turkey is not used as a meat often enough. It is a healthful meat. It is one of the cheapest meats you can serve, and yet the idiots only do it once a year. Have I made it clear?
You've made it clear, Phyllis. Question number two. What internal temperature should the turkey be when it's done? That's from Betty and Marion.
Oh, Betty and Marion. Is that two women or a man and a woman?
I believe that's one person here in Marion, Ohio.
Oh, Betty in Marion.
Yes.
Oh, I gotcha. Okay. Well, the internal temperature should always be 68 degrees. Every room in the house should be 68 degrees.
So the turkey should be the same temperature.
I didn't say that. You said what should the internal temperature be, and you mean of the turkey?
Of the turkey.
Well, hell, I've never been in a turkey. I don't know about that.
Does Butterball?
How would I know? I can't get in there.
Does Butterball give you any type of training, Phyllis?
No, they assumed that I knew. Oh, that'll be the day.
Well, I think that last one's a lost cause. Let's go on to number three.
Oh, yeah.
How should I carve the Thanksgiving turkey? That's from Joan, who is also in Marion.
Joan lives in Marion?
Joan lives in Marion.
Well, it's a lovely little town. Lovely little town. When you carve a turkey, you should use a knife.
Does Fang carve your turkey?
You think I would let him have a knife?
Have there been problems in the past with that?
Oh, he's too dangerous to let him have a knife. He'd probably cut the curtains down, and he'd probably do a lot of damage, and he's not trustworthy.
Is there any special way to carve the turkey? Of course you do it with a knife, but is there any special carving method?
Let me think. Well, I would start with the juiciest, biggest, meatiest part of the turkey poo, and that would be the breast. The breast of your Butterball. A Butterball breast, you can't beat that. Then you get that dressing, that gravy, and I'm starting to drool.
You're making me hungry, Phyllis.
Oh, goody.
Here we go. Question number four. What kind of stuffing should I use? This comes from Brandon in Cardington.
Where's Cardington?
Cardington's just up the road from Marion, about 15 minutes.
Is that one of those chic suburbs?
Well, I don't know how chic it is. I don't want to offend the people in Cardington, but it's not bad.
Uh-huh. It sounds like a little other community close to Marion.
A little piece of heaven.
Is that what it is?
I that's how I like to put it.
That's what a Butterball is, a little piece of heaven. Well, I forgot the question.
Stuffing, Phyllis.
Oh, stuffing. Oh, guess what? My favorite part of the whole din is the stuffing. God, and there are at least 100 different varieties. A lot of people use cornbread. I prefer stale bread, which I have amassed during the year.
Stale bread?
Stale bread, yes. I'll take all the stale bread, cut it up in little croutons, and I prefer old-fashioned country dressing. Simply celery and that stale bread I'll cut up. As celery salt, garlic salt, onion salt, onions all cut up, lots of garlic, fresh garlic all cut up, and let's see what else do we put in. Onions, celery, and bread are the basics. From then on, you go with all the different spices. I know that for a fact, for my Thanksgiving dinner, I'm going to be a guest at Rosemary Stack's home. That's Robert Stack's widow.
Really?
Yeah, and she has a cook who makes something I never heard of. She mentioned one of the spices. I can't remember now, but it was a spice I never heard of in a stuffing. So I can't wait to go there. So just sit in a lavish, they used to call it board.
Phil,
know, lavish table and eat somebody else's cooking.
Phyllis, did you know Robert Stack well?
Oh, yes, but I never slept with him. I didn't know him that well. But his wife, his widow, is a close friend, and I loved Robert Stack. He was an adorable man.
You know, Phyllis, he was a great actor. He seemed like a nice guy when you would see him on television, but because of that show, Unsolved Mysteries, he gave me nightmares.
Really?
I just, every time I heard his voice,
I was
taken back.
Well, you know, he worked till he died. He was over 80, and he loved his work, and he always wanted to work. And I thought that was a good thing. I think it was sage, the dressing. Sage?
Oh, that, yeah.
Would that be maybe one?
Well, that's a good spice.
Well, I maybe it's a sage turkey dressing.
A sage turkey dressing from a sage woman for a sage turkey.
Hot damn.
There we go. One more question, Phyllis, and then we'll let you get back to the phones there at Butterball. How long should I cook a 10-pound turkey? That comes from James, who's also here in Marion.
Jane?
James.
Jane, or Jean.
Whatever, at this point, it doesn't really matter.
All right. Okay, you should cook it till it's done.
That's kind of vague, Phyllis.
Well, it must be tender through. I'm no good with those thermometers and the ice pick and the this and that. I don't know. Take a fork.
Jam a fork in it.
Yeah, do that.
And if it doesn't yell ouch, you're okay.
Sort of.
Well, Phyllis, you're going over to the Stacks for Thanksgiving. Mrs. Stack.
Yes.
Should be a lot of fun.
Oh, yes.
And the Butterball people aren't keeping you too busy?
No, they're very good to me. They love my rum balls.
Do they?
Oh, yeah. I make rum balls for the children every Thanksgiving.
And how does that go?
Well, one Thanksgiving I got a little confused because I was drinking a lot of rum while I was making them. And I got confused with the recipe. Got far too much rum in my rum balls. And all these happy children running around full of rum. It wore off.
Phyllis Diller, you're a treasure. Thank you so much for joining us on Thanksgiving and giving us something to laugh about. And you know, laughter behind turkey is the best medicine.
Absolutely. Eat well, laugh well, live well.
Absolutely. The wonderful, gracious, my pal, the amazing Phyllis Diller. Happy Thanksgiving.
My pal, Scott Spears. You have one, too. Have one, too.
Phyllis Diller, the one and only. What an amazing lady she was. Always had a tremendous amount of fun with her. And glad, even though she's been gone for how many years now? I think Phyllis Diller died in 2012. So she's been gone 6 years now. We still have that little piece of audio tape to enjoy her by. We're going to take a quick time out here and come back momentarily. So don't you dare go anywhere.
Day from 1 to 3 p.m. on Now with Scott Spears right here on WWGH Radio 107.1 FM. Just ask legendary comedian Phyllis Diller.
Why hasn't the world found Scott and put him on a pedestal? And, you know, after all, Larry King can't live forever.
Or legendary actress Jane Meadows.
That's one of the reasons I tell you you're the best of all the interviewers. And that's why I love you and your show, dear.
Actress and singer Marla Gibbs.
As long as you breathe, you'd better believe it's never too late for life. So drop all your fear, 'cause as long as you're here, it's never too late for life.
Our professional wrestler and movie star, Ox Baker.
I want to tell you, listen to the WWGH. This is Ox Baker. Mary Ohio, I know you listen to WWGH. You better start listening.
Or the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams.
Hello there. How are you, Scott Spears? Ted Williams here in Columbus, Ohio. And Scott, I just want to let you know I love you as an individual. I always refer to Marion as being the home of WCMH's Bob Nunnally, and now I refer to it as the home of Scott Spears.
That's now with Scott Spears, 1 to 3 p.m. Monday through Friday, right here on WWGH 107.1 FM, the place to be.
Hey, Scott Spears back with you here on this Monday, November 19th, 2018, 30 minutes past the hour, and I hope you enjoyed the Phyllis Diller Butterball skit. Phyllis left us 6 years ago, but we're so glad every year to be able to play that little piece of footage. I know a lot of people enjoy that. Now, saying all that, Thanksgiving is just 3 days away. And there's only one person in the world that I would want to have on in this week when it comes to Thanksgiving. Now, let me explain that a little more. The reason is because the holidays are a time for family, and Thanksgiving is the official start of the holiday season. And when I think of people who are on this program who remind me of family, there is one name that always stands out above all the rest. She's an Emmy Award winner. She's a Grammy Award winner. She is one of the kindest people I know. You probably remember her best as the voice of Ursula in Disney's The Little Mermaid. I know a lot of people watching that movie this time of year, or her many television appearances with many great stars, from Too Close for Comfort with Ted Knight, to Designing Women, to Caesar's Hour with the great Sid Caesar. It's always a pleasure to welcome a lady to these microphones who I feel like family with, Pat Carroll. Pat, how are you?
I'm wonderful, Scott. Thank you for that. That's so kind, particularly this season when family is the major thought in our heads.
Without question. Pat, how will you spend Thanksgiving this year?
This year, I'm on the Cape where I live. And we're having dinner with friends. And that's always so lovely at Thanksgiving. If I can't be with my family, friends are the closest things to it. So I'm very grateful for that. But I will be talking to my daughters and my granddaughter. And that's as close as I can get right now. Maybe at Christmas time I can get out. But I find travel is very difficult at this age. Travel is no longer gracious. It's a pain in the neck.
Well, you know, Wednesday, the busiest travel day of the year. What a hectic encounter that must be.
Oh, boy, I don't want to be out in it, because travel isn't lovely anymore. It's frantic, it's hectic, it's pressured, it's not fun.
Now, your family lives in California. When is the last time you were able to make it out there?
When was I there? I think 6 months ago. I try to get out because my youngest granddaughter is starting college this year. And it's a very special time, that starting college, because it's the first pillar of being grown up. And so I'm so excited to be around her at this period, because it's so exciting for young people getting ready to go to college and be grown up and start planning their life in reality instead of just talking about it. It's a very exciting time for young people, and I'm glad to be around them.
When you go out and visit your family, what do you like to do together?
just sit and talk and eat for the most part. That's why I don't like to go out a lot when I'm with my family, because I go out where I am, you know, here on Cape Cod. But I so enjoy just sitting and talking to them and looking at old photograph albums and talking about old times and talking about family members that are gone and we miss and laughing over good times with them. And that's the best way to remember people, is to laugh and enjoy and think of the good times you had together.
Absolutely. Now, Pat, what were Thanksgivings like when you were a little girl?
Oh, they were wonderful, mostly because I loved eating. And Thanksgiving is a time for that. And my mother, oh, what good spread she put out at Thanksgiving. And she not only had family, but she had friends who were maybe away from their home base. So there were a lot of happy people talking and laughing and eating good food, because she was a wonderful cook. And she made things everybody enjoyed, and they were very happy times.
Mm. Now, Pat, I remember a story years ago, you telling me how you cooked baked beans when you...
Oh, people don't believe that. They say, you are kidding. I said, I'm not kidding. That shows you what a cook I am.
Do you want to tell that story to the audience? That's a hilarious.
Well, as best I can remember, because the older I get, the harder it is to see me as such a dummy. But I had invited a company over for dinner, and some fellas I knew who were darling chaps. Oh, they were so dear and kind and lovely. And someone came in the kitchen. Well, I'd go back and forth, you know, how you visit with people who are guests, and then you go to the kitchen and check. And they said, what are you cooking? And I said, baked beans. And they said, oh, how wonderful. And the one fella started to open the oven, and he started to laugh, and he kept laughing until he was hysterical, and he fell against drawers and carried on like a banshee, because I had placed each bean on a cooking sheet in the oven to make baked beans.
You know,
and I want to tell you, the gentlemen were so kind, they took us out for dinner. They didn't exactly relish the thought of picking up each bean and eating it, so they took me out for dinner and later accused me of planning the whole thing that way.
And your mother was a great cook, though.
Oh, my mother was a delightful cook, and she could cook for two or she could cook for 20. It made no difference to her. And I think part, I am not a good cook. I never have been. My mama did not teach me the wonderful arts and crafts of her cookery. But I think the big secret is enjoying what you're doing, as it is with everything when you come down to it. Mm. Why do it if you don't enjoy it? And I am not a cook, and I don't enjoy it, so I don't do it. And that's the end of that. So don't expect an invitation for dinner. But I remember the laughter when they opened the oven and saw each bean placed out very delicately and nicely on the pan, and that was to be dinner.
Mm. That's a great...
That shows you what a cook I am.
Now, Pat, we will officially kick off the holiday season here on Thursday. Do you enjoy the holidays?
Oh, I love the holidays, and whether I'm with my family or not, I just love the sense that people get together, and it's very familial, the holidays. I think everybody thinks of their youth and their times at the holidays that Mama planned and the wonderful times they had and the good cooking. And I just think it's a warm and special time for people to remember and to enjoy the now.
Absolutely. Now, when you go to your friends for Thanksgiving dinner this year, is there something you especially like to eat at Thanksgiving?
No, I accept anything anybody gives me. I'm a very good guest. I really I am most grateful for any food, because I enjoy food. I relish good, simple food. I don't like fancy food. I like simple, plain fare. And I enjoy being with friends. And I think to eat, to share food together is such a lovely thing to do with family and friends.
Absolutely. Now, another big part of the Thanksgiving holiday is the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade.
And I was in that once. I was the fairy godmother, the fairy grandmother or something. And, oh, what a joy it was. The faces on the children lining the streets as we went along in our whatever conveyance we were in was so adorable. They were so excited about this celebration out in public on the streets. You could just see it in their faces, and the wave they did, they almost threw their arms off their bodies. They waved so hard, and they grinned, and they yelled, and they clapped, and they had such a good time.
Now, the Thanksgiving parade is kind of interesting because it's held in New York, and of course, New York this time of year can be rather cold.
Yes, it can. I remember freezing in the whatever conveyance we were in. I was so cold, but it was very warming to see all those families lined up and waving and yelling and clapping and having a good time.
Absolutely. And at the end of the parade, everybody sees Santa Claus and we're off and running.
And the season is officially opened.
Absolutely. Now, Pat, when you were working in Hollywood, what were Christmases like in the warm, or Thanksgivings like in the warm climate?
Well, don't forget, I hadn't come from elsewhere to go to Hollywood. I grew up in Los Angeles. My family moved there in the 30s during the Depression. And we came from Texas, from El Paso. And, how we loved it. We just loved Los Angeles and Alvera Street in particular. I still go to Alvera Street anytime I'm in L.A. physically because I love that place. I just love it. And you can get such good Mexican food, and I love Mexican food. I grew up on it in El Paso, Texas. So it's very special to me, very full of memories, and oh, my taste buds adore it.
Now, is Thanksgiving any different in the warmer climate?
I don't think it is, because Thanksgiving is an attitude. It's not a specific. Thanksgiving has to do, if you go with the real name of it, has to do with enjoying a lovely meal with family and friends and being grateful for that family and those friends, because they're all a gift. We have no rights to family and the loved ones in our life. They are our gifts, and as such we should be thankful.
Absolutely. Now, as you look on your 91st year, what are you thankful for this year?
I'm thankful to be alive. And that's the truth of it. Think of all I'd miss if I were gone already to heavenly rewards. Well, I hope heavenly rewards. I don't want to be elsewhere. But I must say that I am always thankful for my life, for the gifts the good Lord has placed in my life. Because they had to be gifts. I certainly didn't earn anything. I was given gifts, and I am ever grateful. I truly am. And this profession of mine, in particular, since I was 12, it was what I wanted to do, and the good Lord has seen his way clear to allow me to do it. And I have loved every second of it. I have been grateful for every second of it, and I just hope I brought a few smiles to faces doing the work I love doing.
I imagine that's exactly true. When you look back at this 91 years, Pat, and this great career you had, what sticks out in your mind at this point?
Wasn't I lucky? I was lucky to be born in the period I was born. I was lucky to work with the wonderful professional people I worked with from Sid Caesar on and throughout everything I did. I just have always been so grateful that at the age of 12 I knew exactly what I wanted to do, and I've done it. Thank you, dear Lord. And I hope I've made a few smiles appear on faces, because that's what we work for in this business, is to entertain and please people. And I hope I've done it, because I've certainly enjoyed doing it.
You know, because of the game show network, a lot of people see Pat Carroll today on the old game shows, Match Game and things like that.
Oh, really? Oh, I didn't know that.
Oh, yes. And were those fun to do, to go on those game shows?
Oh, yes. Well, because they were games. And nobody pretended they were anything else. They were games. And I've always loved games. I've enjoyed them tremendously. I still do. I still play them with my family when we get together over the holidays. But those shows were such fun to do, and there were so many good people performing at that time in our profession, and they were on all these shows, and I enjoyed working with them. Oh, my golly, there are so many good people in our business, and I'm very grateful every time I work with them.
You know, I was thinking, Pat, next year, we're almost to 2019, that will be the 30-year anniversary of The Little Mermaid.
You are kidding.
30 years.
Oh, my Lord. Oh, and what fun that was, and how I have enjoyed that character.
Mm. What does she mean to you 30 years later, Ursula?
Ursula means a mean old poo. But very interesting because of that. She's mean in the way that kids understand her. Kids get a big kick out of Ursula. They love her pushiness. They love her loudness. You know everything about her. They get a big kick out of it. And I'm very grateful for that, because Ursula is very childlike herself. And what a wonderful character to be able to do.
Mm. When you saw the finished product, because doing voiceover work back then was a pretty interesting thing, what did you think of the final movie?
What did I think of it? I thought it was marvelous.
It was great.
Yeah, and it holds up, too. Films like that were made to entertain and for a long time. And I think Disney has such a history of making these characters, all of which are so valid and so wonderful, come to life, especially for kids, that they'll last, I guess, as long as we have television and films, because they understand at Disney what is enchanting to children. And even an old scary poop like Ursula is entertaining kids, because she's not mean. She's loud, she's crazy, and she's cuckoo as they come, but she's not mean, and children understand that. Mean, they don't understand, because most of them don't have that in their lives, thank God. But I think Ursula is loud and noisy and big, and you know exactly where she stands on everything, because she doesn't hold back her opinions or anything else. Wonderful character. I've been so delighted to play that character. It was a gift.
And it's also so interesting, because even though she was the villain in the movie, kids do love her. They buy the action figures and the stuffed dolls and things.
Yeah.
It holds up tremendously.
Well, because I don't think there's meanness in her. There's craziness and cuckoo-ness, and there's loudness, and there's enthusiasm, and there's a great delight in tripping people up. But she's not mean, really. She's loud and noisy and fun.
When you do a film like that with voiceover work, do you become close with the person who did the voice for Ariel the Mermaid?
No, because you don't tape at the same time.
So it's done at separate times?
Yes.
Well, it's interesting how that all comes together. When you were doing the voiceover with nobody else there, is that harder than regular acting?
I don't know. What a good question. Isn't that funny? I've never thought about that. I really don't know. I don't find it, I, as the performer, don't find it any different, with or without a fellow player there to share the microphone, because you're still doing the job that you're hired to do, no matter what, no matter if there are other people working with you, you're working alone, or whatever. And I just enjoy the character doing it anytime, any place, anywhere. What a wonderful character they concocted.
Certainly did. We were talking earlier on about Sid Caesar. What a brilliant man he was.
He was indeed brilliant, and he was a wonderful boss.
Was he a shy man? I've heard people say he was shy.
Yes, he was. And shyness, not out of disrespect for other people, but like a kid. Just a little nervous about contact. Just a little reprehensive about what's going on. But he was not a mean man at all. A very generous man. He would give me permission to fly to New York and do voiceover work on a week's leave. That was very generous because he did not have to do it. So I've always been grateful to him for his generosity.
How did you get the job on his show?
You know, I don't even remember. I think I auditioned. I think I'm almost sure I auditioned. But I, honest to golly, do not remember. But I don't remember how I got jobs for anything I did. I just showed up and did it. Whether I auditioned or I was just hired, I don't remember. But don't forget, I'm 91 years old and I'm very crotchety. But I get more tickled as I get older with the fact that there are a lot of things I just don't remember. And instead of getting upset and depressed about that, it makes me laugh. And I think, oh, what a shame. I'd like to remember that. But I have been so fortunate in my theatrical working life with the jobs I've been given, with the people I've worked with. It's been a joy and a pleasure all the time.
You know, Pat, it's interesting because of all the interviews we've done over the phone, the time I came to Cape Cod and we did an interview, you just have the most pleasant disposition of anybody I've ever known. Where does that come from?
My mother. My mother was the sweetest, the most beautiful little Irish lady. And I don't mean she was born in Ireland. Her father was. And he had a gorgeous brogue and used to drive me around in his little Ford coupe. And we would sing, and he would sing me Irish songs, which I learned. And we just had the best time. And he still had that little Irish brogue. And he was, like my mother, very tiny, very short, with the most delicate hands and feet, tiny, tiny, perfectly shaped, perfectly sized. And he was such a darling human being. What joyous memories I have of that little Irish grandfather.
Mm. What kind of grandmother are you? We talked about the grandkids earlier.
What kind? Well, you'd have to ask them that. I don't know. I just know that I love the grandkids. I love young kids anyway. I think they are such repositories of everything that's good in life. And I think that's why we're all attracted to kids, because we've lost those qualities as we grow older. But they are just in the middle of them, and it's such a joy to be around them.
Mm, absolutely. Has anybody, I know your daughter is a great actress. Did she ever ask for advice from you when it came to acting?
No. Maybe once or twice about a specific character. She doesn't need any advice from me. I've had one kind of delightful wish that I hope we can do before I kick, and that's do a play together. I should love to do that because I think she's extremely talented. She has wonderful taste as a performer. And she makes sure that any set she works on is not an old poopy set, that it's a happy set. And I think a lot of directors hire her because of that, because they know their set will be happy because one actress is going to make sure it is. And I love her attitude about that, because there's no sense. We are so fortunate to work as actors that there should be no unhappiness, there should be no competitive spirit. There should be a joyous sense of how fortunate we are to do the work we do.
You know, last time we talked, Pat, you told me you were working on a book. Are you still working on the book?
Yep, and it's just called Patsy.
Oh, I like it.
Yeah, I do too. Well, that was what I was called when I was a kid in my family. It was never Pat. Patricia was used only by the nuns in school. And so Patsy is the title of the book. And I am having such fun doing it because people are popping into my head that I haven't thought of in years. And they're still in my head because they deserve to be. So I'm writing about them with joy and pleasure. And I haven't put an end to it. I haven't said, well, you have to finish this by such and I don't care how long I do this. And it'll be up to my kids what they want to do with it. I don't care.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm just putting down everything and all the people I met. And some became close friends and some people just stayed what they were. And I've just had such a good life, and I thank the good Lord every day for 91 years of it. And I am so grateful for the life he handed me, and I hope I have lived up to it.
You know, Pat, when you look back at the 91 years, would you consider a moment, a turning point in your life?
Oh, what a good question. A turning point. Oh, I'm not sure about that. I think just being alive was a turning point. No, I can't essentially remember anything that would feel like a turning point to me. Except I know that I was very aware when I was probably 10 years old that this is what I wanted to do, and I didn't know how to do it. Mm. And so I said some prayers to the good Lord and said, if you'll show me how I can get into this and do it for a life work, I would appreciate it. And as always, the good Lord answered my prayers.
Mm. Do you remember what your first acting job was?
You mean to be paid?
Yes.
Oh, golly, no.
Did you act
in... Oh, what a good question. No, I don't, but I know how thrilled I was. You mean they pay you to do this? And I think I still feel that way. It's amazing that I've made my living doing this all my professional life. Aren't I lucky?
Mm-hmm. Think back to your Emmy win, and you were very young. You won that. That had to have been great validation.
Oh, I don't know. Don't you know I was thrilled to have it? I remember driving home in the car with my husband, and I was holding that Emmy like it was a baby. Oh, Lord, I was so excited and thrilled and gratified and grateful.
Mm. It's a fascinating thing, and you've also won a Grammy for your work with Gertrude Stein?
Oh, yes, I had forgotten about that, and I have it sitting right here in my office in a place of honor.
You know, Pat, with the Grammy, you've been in animated features, you've been in movies, you've been in television series, Emmy Awards, stage productions, you had a cabaret act. Is there anything you haven't done you still want to do?
I don't think so, and I have decided that the best thing to do when you're finished with the work of your life is retire, which I think I'm officially doing this year.
You're retiring from acting?
Yes, sir, and I think that's a very good thing. Once your work is done, happily retire.
What?
And I mean happily.
What? In your case, brought on the retirement?
Something I read about when your work is really done, that's when you say, I retire.
Mm.
And not to wait and let it dribble out. And I do believe that's true. when to retire. That's a very gracious kind of thing and a very wise thing.
Well, I hope you may be retiring from acting, but I hope not retiring from interviewing.
Oh, no. Oh, we'll be doing this. And as long as you want me, I'll be here, believe me. Because you know there's nothing better for me than to answer questions. I love it. I love it. And some people hate it. I do not.
Well, I love asking them. And the two questions I want to ask before we part ways for the holiday. Now, Pat, do you like turkey with cranberry sauce?
Oh, yes. How can you have turkey without cranberry sauce?
I know, people are strange.
They certainly are. How dare you not have cranberry sauce?
That's what I think.
It's so good.
And the other, what is your favorite dessert for Thanksgiving?
Favorite dessert? I think it's something my mother used to make. And I forget the name of it now. I even forget what it tastes like. But, oh, my Lord, that was good. It was so good. And I really rushed through dinner in order to get to dessert. That's how good it was.
Now,
oh, Lord, isn't that dreadful? I can't even remember the name.
It's been a while. That's okay.
Yeah, it has been a while. Everything's been a while at this age. But I'm so grateful to be here.
You know, one thing I remember. Do you like pumpkin pie? Pumpkin pie and whipped cream?
Oh, I love pumpkin pie.
Even
if it's not Thanksgiving.
It's a great pie and a cheap pie.
Yes,
it's inexpensive.
Yes. I love both qualities.
I remember when we first talked about you doing your book, and you told me that you were going to title the book something your grandmother said, and it was... I don't know my rear end from my elbow.
Yes, I don't know my ass from my elbow. Is that perfect or what?
That's a good title. Because I can just picture when that book goes to stores, kids coming in asking the librarian for that title of book.
And can you see the shock on the librarian's face? But that was a great, great expression of my grandma's, and I've never forgotten it.
God bless her.
Oh, you don't know your ass from your elbow, she'd say.
Pat,
isn't that wonderful?
She must have been a fun woman.
Oh, my God, she was hysterical. One of the greatest times I ever had. I took and this is after I'd worked there, so I knew people and I knew the routine. I took my grandmother and two of her elderly darling friends to Las Vegas for a week. They did everything. What was the expression of one of the ladies? We did everything but plain and fancy fornicating. That's the title of a book if I ever heard. What a time I had with those three elderly ladies, and I still in my head have a picture of them at the slot machines, how they loved the slot machines. Children and older people adore the slot machines.
Mm.
The tables don't mean a thing to them.
But
the slot machines, yes.
Mm. Well, Pat, on behalf of a lot of people, here's two things I know. Number one, you have to live to be 100 so we can do the interview on your 100th birthday, and we'll have 9 more years.
Oh, I would love that. I'll try to plan on it if I can, but it's in other hands than mine.
Cinco de Mayo. Cinco de Mayo.
Oh, Cinco de Mayo is my birthday.
I love it.
And my parents always used to take me to Alvera Street on my birthday because the celebration was wide and happy. And I have always remembered that. No matter where I am, I remember my birthdays on Alvera Street in Los Angeles.
And on this program, it's become a tradition on your birthday, before Thanksgiving, and before Christmas to have Pat Carroll on because and any other time, by the way, because it's always a good time. There's no better person, no better guest, and no more person. I don't make notes for these interviews with Pat because she's just like family, one of the best. Pat, happy Thanksgiving on behalf of all of us.
Oh, and happy Thanksgiving to you. I just hope it follows through right through a brilliant Christmas for you and a new year of nothing but blessings.
Love you, Pat. Take care.
Love you back. Bye.
Bye-bye.
The amazing Pat Carroll. What can you say? Tomorrow's show, I can't even tell you about it. It's going to be great, but come back. Linda Sims, Voice of a People, 410 today. Stay tuned for more programming on WWGH Radio. But for now, this is Scott Spears heading for the dugout.
From the day you win the prize to pick the prize up, you can only win once every 30 days. WWGH Radio strike to question any prize winnings.